This is Oklahoma Perspective. The Tulsa Public School System is facing a $20 million shortfall next year. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Tulsa Public School Superintendent Dr. Deborah Gist about the problem and what needs to be done to address it.
There was a board meeting, and one of the points of discussion was there's a fairly significant budget shortfall fixing to happen, not this fiscal year, but next fiscal year, if I understand it correctly.
Definitely. And what I think is important for everyone to know is we've actually been talking about this for the last couple of years, because with the budgets that we've been managing for the last couple of years, we have been planning for this moment and knowing that this moment was coming. We were very much hoping that that our state would invest more significantly in education, which wouldn't have meant that we wouldn't have needed to have this conversation. It just might have changed, what we were doing instead of what we're doing now. But nonetheless, we knew that without major changes, that the combination of really drastic cuts to education that our state has made for many, many years, with the exception of the last couple of years, which we're very grateful for, but those reductions to our budget combined with decreases in enrollment, which then, of course, exacerbates the lack of funding, then leads us to the moment where we are now.
So let's explain that to folks. Part of the funding formula is based on, a large part of the funding formula is based on student population, correct?
Right.
Especially when it comes to federal funding?
It's both, but it's actually, I would say, especially as it relates to state funding.
Okay, fair enough. And enrollment at TPS has declined, 5,000 students in how long?
In about the last 5 years, if you don't count the students in our 6 public charter schools. But it's also important for folks to know that the enrollment declines in Tulsa public schools have been happening for decades. And this is just, our city has changed, our district has changed. And so we really feel that energy turning. Tulsa is an amazing place to live and people want to be here. There are so many exciting things happening. And we have incredible public schools and we want people to know about the awesome schools in their neighborhoods as well as the great schools of choice all across Tulsa. We have the very best schools in the state. Some of those very best schools in the state are right here in Tulsa Public Schools.
So I can already hear the critics saying, gosh, if you've got fewer students, why do you need more money? I know that sounds simplistic, but that's the way people's minds work. So explain that.
I mean, it's exactly the right thing to ask. And the answer is that for some things, we don't need as much money. But the thing to remember is that the changes in enrollment don't all happen in one school. So we lost 600 students to Epic Public Charter Schools last year alone. Well, all 600 of those students, that's really two schools. That's two schools worth of children in Tulsa Public Schools to a for-profit entity that is running schools that, are clearly have some questions about management right now that I know the state and others are looking into, and who use taxpayer dollars to advertise and make promises to our families. And so we've lost several hundred students. Well, all of those students don't leave two schools, because if they did, then we could just say, okay, now we have two empty schools, we'll close those. But instead, what happens is that, smaller handfuls of students are leaving from a variety of different places, which then means that it's much more challenging. It's not as straightforward to say, okay, it's like a dollar for dollar sort of per student amount that then is changed. We have made adjustments in Tulsa Public Schools over the years because of our changes in enrollment. We've made really significant reductions to our district office. We've made we hire fewer teachers. We there are a lot of things that we do. If we don't need the staff, if we don't need as many people in a certain building or a certain office, then we certainly don't fill those positions. But I think it's really important for people to know that a huge part of the challenge that we're facing right now is resulting from the state's lack of investment in public education. If we had per pupil what we had in 2008, we would not be having this conversation right now. And when you think about the fact that everything is more expensive today than it was in 2008, it costs more for us to, you know, pay our utilities. It costs more for us to pay, you know, our teachers and healthcare and everything, you know, all the expenses that we have. Even with that in mind, we would not be having this conversation, at least not the way we are having it, if our state had restored the cuts that they've made to education, the 10 years from 2008 to 2018. We're very grateful for the fact that the state has shifted from cutting into beginning to reinvest, but we're not even close to those 2008 levels.
Quantify that for me, Dr. Gist.
Sure. So if we had per pupil what the state was providing Tulsa Public Schools in 2008, it's about $25 million more that we would be getting. And even if you account for some of the changes in our local ad valorem increases or property tax increases, it's at least $16 million difference from then. And even if you take out of that what the state put back into the formula last summer, it's $15 million per student that we would have if the state was funding us at the 2008 level.
Which even then would still leave you, what, about $5 million short? Because my understanding is the shortfall is going to be in the $20 million ballpark?
That's right. It's looking like a little bit less than that right now, but I think anybody can tell you if you were choosing between having a $20 million problem or a, you know, $3 to $5 million problem, I think it's pretty clear which one would be the one that would be more manageable. And so we're looking at this as an opportunity. That's hard to do because it's obviously a daunting challenge, but we have to. I mean, we have to look at this as a way that we're going to bring our community together and talk about what matters most and then figure out what to do next. You know, it's just challenging because we've made so many cuts, we being the state of Oklahoma, for so long to an already underfunded public education system that it's challenging to think about, well, what do we then do without? Because everything that we, you know, believe in are parts of our system, our teachers for sure, the arts for sure, our counselors, librarians, and then, you know, all the rest of our team, our biggest groups of folks in our system are, you know, like our custodians and our bus drivers and our, and we've already made cuts to all of those, everything I just mentioned, we've already cut back on millions of dollars in the time that I've been back even.
So hard decisions lay ahead. That's just going to have to happen. And so my understanding is the plan is to engage the community in helping make some of those tough calls.
Yeah, we're going to do this together. We have right now scheduled meetings that we'll have all across Tulsa at each of our high schools so that we're spreading ourselves out, you know, to each different part of the city. And then we're also going to have a series of different working groups that'll dive in more deeply. And then we'll have a few more. So we'll have those meetings here in the next few weeks. And then we'll spend some time working with some working groups. And then we'll go back out to the community in a couple of months from now with, you know, more what we heard and what we're looking at and get people involved again.
It sounds similar to the process that the mayor is using for the vision renewal package. You know, create a framework, get some feedback from people, go back, tweak it, present it again, get more feedback, and then, you know, eventually just you make the call. Does that sound right?
Because I mean, ultimately, you know, the decisions have to be made and owned by the Board of Education, who are the elected officials who represent Tulsans, just like the city council and the mayor are elected officials who represent Tulsans. So ultimately, it does come back to them for their decision, but we'll be basing our recommendations on, you know, what we hear and how, you know, how people are engaged between now and then.
So clock's ticking, right? By law, TPS has to have a balanced budget in place before the next fiscal year. And I can't imagine that you wait until, what, the end of June to do that. So
no, that's why we're starting now. Exactly.
Tulsa Public School Superintendent Dr. Deborah Gist. The Jinx Public School System has recently given their teachers a raise. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Public Information Officer Rob Lober about the new raise and what's happening this year at Jinx Public Schools.
School board passed a teacher raise. Good news for teachers. Can you talk a little bit about the thought process or you know, why they decided to go ahead and do that now, or just kind of tell us what happened?
Yeah, sure. This is really nothing new for us in our district. This is something that takes place just about on a yearly basis with our Board of Education and our Jinx Classroom Teachers Association. They usually enter negotiations over the summer and then reach an agreement, and it's voted on in August by the board and approved by the board. So this is really nothing out of the ordinary for us, kind of the same practice and same procedures that we've been following and same timeline we've been following over the last several years. But as most people are aware, you know, the state legislature passed an increase of $1,220 for all certified teachers in the state. So I know we're not alone as a district in providing that extra amount to our teachers. And then there's a few other things that were negotiated as well, including, you know, the district paying more toward retirement for our teachers. And on top of that, our school board and our administrators feel very strongly that, you know, whatever happens for the teachers, we should try to make that equitable for our classified staff, our support staff, and our administrators as well. So all of that was approved last night.
Now, then, that's a step that the state did not take, if I remember correctly. When they passed the teacher raise, they passed a teacher raise and did not account for all the support staff and the other folks without whom, let's face it, the schools could not operate. So it's nice that Jinx did that. So just to clarify, make sure I understand, basically what you did was take what the legislature passed and pass that along to the teachers, or was there additional money involved? I'm not totally clear on that part of it.
Yeah, so it was kind of a three-tier thing. So it was the $1,220 increase as approved by the state legislature. And what the state legislature also did was that they approved a step increase for all teachers as well. So moving up one step on the salary schedule. So it was $1,220, an additional step on the salary schedule. And then what we did that's specific to Jinx is we added 0.25% to district paid retirement. So teachers in the state of Oklahoma are required to pay 7% into Oklahoma teacher retirement. And our district now covers 5.75% of that 7% figure.
Oh.
So I know that's a lot of numbers, but so basically teachers are only now paying 1.25% of their own pay into teacher retirement, and the district is covering the rest.
And able to keep a little bit more in their own pocket. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said that allows them to keep just a little bit more in their own pocket and without sacrificing their retirement fund. And then
you said
you were going to go into the long term. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, the ultimate goal long term is to get to that full 7% for the district to cover that full 7%. But again, this is something that goes on, you know, year after year in terms of having a great working relationship between our board, our administrator, our superintendent, and our Classroom Teachers Association. And then also wanting to recognize the contributions of our classified employees, our support staff, you know, the people who do so much work for us behind the scenes, like our bus drivers, our paraprofessionals, the folks that are serving meals out at Child Nutrition and in our cafeterias every day. Our print shop and our warehouse, all of those people, you know, help our district run and help us accomplish our mission. And so we want to make sure that they are taken care of and compensated well.
You know, and that's a great point, because I think people forget about all the people who work behind the scenes. And you know, when you think of schools, you think teachers, maybe administrators, maybe, you know, the janitorial staff. But you're right, the print shop. You know, the mechanics that keep the buses going, the engineers that keep the AC on. There's just a lot of people that don't always get the recognition, and as we've seen in Oklahoma, don't always get the compensation that maybe the districts would like to give them.
Yeah, no, it's extremely critical. I mean, we're big believers in the fact that, you know, we are one big Trojan family here at Jinx, and everybody has a role to play. So whether you're fixing an air conditioner or driving a bus or teaching a classroom, you know, what you do matters. And it's all part of the larger goal and the larger mission. So we do want to recognize those people as much as possible. And again, it's something that our board has been very supportive of and made a practice of year after year, is giving a salary increase to those support staff. So it's not like they're receiving an increase, you know, once every 10 years or once every 7 years. This is something that's, you know, happening year after year. And we believe in building on that slowly over time.
How are you guys doing for staffing going into the new school year? I've talked to a couple other districts, and it's sort of been a mixed bag depending on who you're talking to. How did Jinx do?
Yeah, overall, started the year very, very strong. You know, every single one of our classrooms has a teacher for that classroom. For the first time in a long time, we were fully staffed with bus drivers, which is something that's been a challenge for us and some other districts in the area, is finding bus drivers, keeping bus drivers, being able to hire enough people. So we feel great about that. We've got a good, strong staff of bus drivers this year. I think we started the year with only 9 emergency certifications, which is the same number as we had last year at this time. So we really feel good about the position we're in starting the year as far as staffing goes. Now, there are some support staff positions that we could always use more of, and we're still looking to fill some of those positions. So things like paraprofessionals, child nutrition workers, some of those positions are still in demand for us.
You know, you did a really nice job of anticipating my question on emergency certifications. And 9, how many teachers do you have in, roughly, do you know? How many teachers do you have in Jinx?
Roughly, I would say it's about 800.
So 9 is like about 1%. That's pretty good. I'm not a math major, but I think I'm in the right ballpark there. That's very good.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly acknowledge that, you know, in Oklahoma as a state, we've had our share of struggles over the last few years with the number of emergency certifications. You know, we're in a fortunate position that we are in a district where we're extremely well supported by our parents and our community. You know, I think we've established ourselves as a place where students and families and teachers want to work and want to be. And, you know, we're able to give them a tremendous amount of support, professional development opportunities. So I think all those things that we have to offer, knowing that you're going to be well compensated and you're going to be well supported, you know, makes us an attractive choice for potential employees.
Outstanding. Well, good. It sounds like you guys are off to a good start for the year then. Any new buildings or facilities or anything like that that folks should hear about?
Yeah, the only major construction project that was recently completed was a new wing at our middle school. So our middle school has kind of been bursting at the seams the last couple of years. And so with the approval of our bond issue, we were able to build a new wing on the middle school. So it's about 12 classrooms, 2 floors, 12 classrooms. And that's going to house a lot of our world language classes. And then there's also a new metal shop and a new wood shop, a new theater room in there. So for some of our electives, it's a really, really nice space for those students and those teachers to have. So our theater students can now, you know, design sets and then go right across the hall and build those sets. Some of our kids who are in FFA and agricultural classes can, you know, build things, and the world language teachers have some new shiny classrooms. So I think we're excited about that.
Jinx Public Schools Public Information Officer Rob Lober. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.